Hello, my name is Joey Kelly, and you're listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I believe and preach the old-fashioned gospel, the same thing that Paul and the other apostles preached. Jeremiah 6, verse 16 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." And that's what we're going to talk about today.
Gonna
Another broken cistern that I'd like to discuss is the idea of a purpose-driven or a seeker-sensitive path to God. And I would have a number of different objections to the Purpose-Driven Life book. But I don't want to get into too many of them. I just want to basically make a point. One of the goals of the purpose-driven or seeker-sensitive message, and I'd like to say that they're basically the same thing. The seeker-sensitive came first. And in my opinion, and I may be wrong, but my opinion is that the purpose-driven message is just a rehash or a knockoff of the seeker-sensitive message. But one of the goals of the seeker-sensitive or purpose-driven message, those that implement it are trying to bring new people into the church. And that is certainly a wonderful idea. We need to have the churches full. But I believe one of the problems with their approach or their method is that they try to make the message and try to make the surroundings, the music, etc., all of the different external attributes of the church or the church service, they try to make it so that the people are not offended, seeker-sensitive. Supposedly if someone's seeking to come to God, then we're sensitive of the fact that they may be alcoholics or they may do this or that. And so we try not to offend them when they come in the door, and the idea is eventually that they'll become accustomed to the church, they'll become accustomed to coming to a service every week or what have you, and then eventually they'll understand that, hey, you know, I need to follow God. But the Bible says that we should, as sinners, we should adjust ourselves to the Word of God. That if it says, thou shalt not commit adultery, then we need to say, hey, I need to stop looking at girls like I do. Or I need to stop trying to pick them up in bars or whatever. The adjustment should be on our end. If we take the message and we adjust the message so as not to offend, to make it more palatable to the sinner, then we've erected or we built a cistern that is broken and can hold no water. The Word of God is offensive, there's no question. We can read in the Gospels and we find that at one point Jesus said, will you also, speaking to his disciples, will you also go away? Because his message has become too hard, and most of the people that had followed him, the crowds that had followed him for a year or so, they had left. Now, we know that Jesus is perfect. We know that there's not a word that's come out of his mouth ever that was wrong or in error or misplaced. He's perfect. But his audience began to say, well, look, we really can't abide what you're saying. But he didn't alter his message. And not only the purpose-driven philosophy, but I believe that over most of the 20th century, we started out pretty good, but then we began to make adjustments. So we brought in psychology, for instance, into the church. We've erected great institutions of higher learning, which are great. God does not place a premium on ignorance, but we need people that are called. We need people that, like David, who spent time following the sheep as his brothers mocked him, but have spent time alone with the Lord, spent time in the wilderness. We know that Christ, when he began his ministry, he was baptized at the River Jordan. Immediately, it says the Spirit said, go to the wilderness, the woods or the desert or whatever it was, and spend time with God, and he was there for 40 days. It was him and God and scorpions or whatever there were, that was there. And we understand that he was doing so because the children of Israel had spent 40 years in the desert. But we know that the desert is a place where all external distractions are gone. We know that it's a hard place, and we know that you have to depend upon God if you're going to spend an extended time in a wilderness situation. All the conveniences, they didn't have electricity and iPods back then when Jesus was around, but all of the conveniences that he would have found in a city, running water, for instance, a shelter in case it rained or whatever. Those things were gone, and he had to depend upon the Lord. And just like David, he had a chance to spend time meditating on the Word of God and letting the Lord speak to his heart and show him the things that he should do and the things that he should not do. You say, well, Christ, he was perfect. He would have never done anything wrong. Yes, but if you look at the Word of God, it says that he said, not my will, but thine be done. Not my ways, but Lord, let's have your ways. Yes, Jesus is the Son of God. He is God come in the flesh. But still, he had to learn obedience. And certainly we need to let the Lord get the things out of us that are not palatable to him. But to take the message, or to take the way that we conduct a service, or that we present the message, and to dress it up and make it palatable, make it comfortable to the sinner, it does them a disservice. And it is a broken cistern that can hold no water. Now it's time to make people mad. Here in New Orleans, it is essentially a Catholic city. Most of my family is Catholic. Most of my wife's family is Catholic. A lot of my friends are Catholic. I don't have a problem with that. I've been raised in this kind of environment all of my life. But we know that Catholicism has strayed from the Word of God. It has strayed from historical Christianity. Jesus told the Pharisees and Sadducees that by that tradition they had made the Word of God of none effect. Today, the Word of God has a place in the Catholic Church, but tradition, Catholic tradition and history, holds an equal place with the Word of God. And I believe that that is a problem. The Bible gives a clear message of salvation. It says that man is a sinner. We've all committed sin. We're all sheep going astray. There's none that does good, no, not one, Paul said in Romans. And the Catholic doctrine would agree with that, that man is a sinner. But how to alleviate the sin? The Bible says one thing, and the Catholic doctrine says another. And again, God loves Catholics. And again, I love Catholics. I mean no disrespect to anyone. But if you know that you're a sinner, the Bible says you can come to Christ, that you can come, and God will answer. Let me read a couple of verses here. In Romans chapter 10, he says here in verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Catholic doctrine says that if you, and I've seen it on a bumper sticker, if you can't find Jesus, ask his mother. Catholic doctrine says that if you have a problem, and if it's this kind of problem, or maybe it'll fit into that category or this other category, if you have a problem, then you go to the saint that specializes in your problem. If I got this kind of problem, I go to St. Joseph. If I got this kind of problem, I go to St. Matthew. If I got this kind of problem, I'll go to so-and-so. I don't know much about the different saints that you should pray to. But if you have a problem, you pray to a saint. You ask that saint to help you with your problem. You're petitioning. The Bible calls that prayer. If you're asking someone in the heavens, supposedly, to help, that's prayer. That, by definition, is praying to the saints. And some will say, no, we don't pray to saints. Well, yes, you do. Some will say we don't pray to Mary. Well, yes, you do. Some will say we don't worship Mary. Well, yes, you do. Pope John Paul II went a long way to reviving Mariolatry, or the worship of Mary. And I'm not trying to make anybody mad or get anybody upset at me, but I am here to preach the Word of God. I know what works. I know what helps. You don't have to go to St. Peter or something. You can go directly to God. God is your answer. In Catholic doctrine, from what I understand, Jesus is pictured as angry. Jesus is pictured as angry with the sinner. And how do you approach an angry Jesus? Well, you go to Mary. You ask Mary to intercede, and then the angry Jesus will grant your wish or your petition or what have you. And I believe that is error. The Bible says there's one mediator between God and man. That's the man, Jesus Christ. As far as praying to saints, the Bible forbids it. You can read in the Gospels about the rich man and Lazarus. The rich man, he found himself in hell. And he said, Abraham, let me go and tell my brothers so they don't end up in hell too. And Abraham said, no, there's a great gulf fixed, and they're forbidden. The dead can't come back and help you. And you say, well, you know, this saint or that saint, Saint Joseph is in heaven. Well, okay, maybe that's true. And I understand that Joseph was a Christian. I understand that today he is in heaven, but his body is in the ground. Peter, his body is in the ground. Don't get mad at me. Mary, her body is in the ground. I know many will teach that she ascended. There is no biblical record of this. She did not ascend. If you look at Moses, he's in the ground. If you look at Jeremiah, the prophet Jeremiah, he's in the ground. Adam is in the ground. Saint Anthony is in the ground. And you listen to me. Enoch is not in the ground. Enoch went to heaven. Elijah the prophet went to heaven. These two men in the Old Testament, they're not dead. They're alive. They are in heaven because God took them. And these two men picture the resurrection. But all of the saints that you pray to, they're dead. They can't help you. And according to what we just read about, or just referenced about the rich man and Lazarus, they are forbidden to help you. Praying to saints, they can't hear you. And even if they could, they can't help you. You need to take your burdens to the Lord. You need to bring your problems to God. And again, just as we mentioned earlier, there are no steps to God's altar. You go to Christ. You go to Jesus Christ himself. Forget Mary. She can't help you. Jesus is your answer. He's the mediator between God and man. God, the Father, is the one that's angry at sin. But Jesus willingly gave his life for your sin. Jesus willingly went to the cross and suffered and was spat upon, was beaten, was mocked, and was nailed to the cross for you. He took punishment for you. Does that sound like someone who is angry at you? No. The Word of God, the law of God, we referenced in the book of Exodus chapter 20, the Ten Commandments. God the Father was angry at sin. God's anger needed to be dealt with. It's the blood of Jesus Christ that washes away sin. It's the blood and his sacrifice, Jesus' sacrifice on the cross, that satisfies God's wrath against sin. You can be forgiven of your sin. And let me say, purgatory does not exist. Well, that's it. I'm not going to listen to that preacher no more. He talked about Mary, now he's talking about purgatory. Well, that's fine. You can turn me off if you wish, but the Bible is true. Purgatory does not exist. The Bible says that, for it is appointed unto man once to die, and after that comes the judgment. There's no stop off in purgatory. If you die a sinner, you burn in hell as a sinner. There's no redemption in purgatory. The redemption is found in the cross of Jesus Christ. You need to decide to follow him today. Your church cannot save. Membership in a church, if it's Roman Catholic Church, if it's Southern Baptist Church, membership in a church cannot save. You need to put your trust in Christ. He alone forgives sin. He alone delivers and sets the captive free. Look to him. For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living water, and they have hewn them out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. You've been listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I hope you've enjoyed the program today and pray that the Lord has convinced you to follow Jesus in the way. If you want to know more about the ministry, you can visit my website at joeykelly.net/ministry. That's joeykelly.net/ministry. And you can read about the missions work that I do down in Haiti. Or if you like, you can write me at 324 Codifer Boulevard, number 9. That's Codifer Boulevard, number 9, Metairie, Louisiana, 7005. And until next time, this is Evangelist Joey Kelly encouraging my friends to take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there.